good girl. Love the mess, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo.
Welcome to the Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter Five, and I'm here tonight with Shawnee and Joy. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay,
that microphone works. Anyway, you might want to move over closer to her. This is WOZO 103.9 LPFM, live in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is a live atheist call-in radio show. We'll be talking about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are a lot of atheist songs, and you'll be hearing them right here on this program and generally on the station as they are in rotation. I'll also talk about atheist and rationalist groups that exist here in Knoxville and how you can connect with them. And did you know that we actually have an atheist call-in television show here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Ty?
I didn't know that. Why don't people tell me things? I'm beginning stressed out.
I'm telling you now. And we've been
we've
been broadcasting that TV show for over 6 years, almost six and a half now. That's right, and we'll talk about how you can watch that as well. Our call-in number here, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937. And Shawnee, you'd like to introduce tonight's topic. It is your topic, I believe.
Yes, actually, we're going to be speaking about local community activism.
Okay, very good. And I understand you're getting pretty active yourself. You and Joy are both getting pretty active.
Oh, very much so. We have been for...
a while now.
Yeah, a while. We've been vocal and active online for probably several years between the two of us. And I know Joy used to do the 1% marches and the sit-ins and
Occupy.
Such. The Occupy marches. But ever since, of course, November, everything's been kind of... holy crap, and people in Knoxville are getting extremely active.
Yeah, well, with the Women's March and the protests against women's rights, not just women's rights, but what was the original protest against just
the
Trump's presidency?
The one I did was the Trump presidency,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that one was in November.
Mm-hmm.
And you had like 2 or 3 people there, didn't you?
200 or 300.
Yeah.
300,000. Right. Well, the Let Love Conquer March, the biggest one was, it was probably close to 200 people came to that one.
Here in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was in Knoxville at Market Square. Started in Crutch Park, and we marched around the square and down Gay Street.
Yeah. And there's a statue down there, isn't there, of a women protest?
There's the women's suffrage statue right between Market Square and Crutch Park.
So women have had problems in that area for quite a while, mm-hmm. and they're still marching and still trying to get the rights, which is a shame that they have not, in 2017, still haven't got equal rights with men.
Right. And a lot of people say, well, you know, we are equal. No, you're not. We make 20% less than men in the exact same fields, doing the exact same work. So it's less pay for the same work. We have a constant issue with having the right to control our own bodies and our own reproductive rights.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And you've been out there by the reproduction center, I believe.
Yesterday was Planned Parenthood. There have all this week nationwide protests against Planned Parenthood. So, of course, we counter-protested. It was specifically organized by Betty Buckus on a Saturday where the clinic was closed because they are there to provide health care for men and women. Even if we are counter-protesting the jerks, we're still making those patients uncomfortable.
Right.
So we did it on a Saturday when they were closed, and they had, I think there were around 300 people showed up on the pro-Planned Parenthood side yesterday and about 24 on the anti side. Maybe 3 dozen max at one point.
No.
Max.
It didn't get to
Right. No. Yeah, they showed up in numbers, and it was a cloudy, and we were just waiting for the skies to open up at any point, because I honestly think that if it had been a nice, pretty day like today was, thank you, global warming, that twice as many people would have shown up.
Right. What gets me is that picture of Trump signing the initiative to outlaw or try to outlaw abortion, surrounded by men. Not a single woman on the panel, not a single woman in the room.
Right.
There should be a law that says you can't make laws limiting females if you're not made up of, the panel is not made up of females. There should be a law against that, I would think.
I completely agree, and that keys into, this is 2017, and we are still fighting this. It's absolutely ridiculous. Men are still trying to dictate and control women's bodies.
Yeah, and how do they do that? I mean, what are the ways?
They do that by limiting our access to establishments such as Planned Parenthood that offer cancer screenings and STD treatments and education and abortions. They attempt to, right now they've got bills up about life starts at conception. Well, you look at that, you're going to limit in vitro fertilization, so you're going to take people who really want to be parents and are really struggling and going through and spending all this money and then telling them that they cannot, because when you deal with in vitro fertilization, there are a lot of embryos that are destroyed.
Right.
Then they don't want to cover birth control a lot of places, and it's just like you don't want abortions, but you don't want to cover birth control. Like, what do you want from people?
Abstinence only is what they want.
Yeah,
well,
that's not
what
happening.
They really want is what I keep saying is they're trying to keep a barefoot pregnant chained to a stove, because if you keep a woman down like that and she's constantly having to produce children, then you can control them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They'll never stand up for themselves. They'll never, step out of the house. They'll never go to work. And all that is a male insecurity, in my opinion.
I couldn't agree more. You for a little bit of personal drama, y'all had an incident this morning that happened.
Right? Oh, boy.
We had a fun morning.
It was not fun.
Do you want to go there or not?
Yeah, I can go there. I have no issue with that. So Joy and I both sit on the board of directors for Rationalists of East Tennessee, and we were on our way to a board meeting. I live, she's my roommate. Have a house down on MLK, so we're driving to the board meeting, sitting at the red light at Magnolia and Cherry Street. Joy thought she heard gunshots. I guess I've just gotten so accustomed to it, I didn't even notice. So she goes slowly through the green light instead of quickly as she normally would, and right in front of us, a car turned down, sped through Fifth Avenue, turned the wrong way onto Cherry Street, hit the curb, flipped, and hit a tree.
Came flying.
Flying through the air.
Turns out he was running from a gunman.
Yeah, somebody had been shooting him from another vehicle, or shooting at him from another vehicle. So I, of course, jump out of the vehicle, call 911, running to it. We get him out, and all he's asking is, where was I shot? Was I shot? Was I shot?
He was not.
And he was not. There have been rumors going around that he was shot in the chest. No, I was sitting there holding his hand when the paramedics showed up. But that just goes to show we still have a gun violence issue in the city.
Yeah, when you said that you didn't hear it because you were used to it, you're used to hearing it in the neighborhood?
I live on Martin Luther King.
I thought you meant like on TV?
The neighborhood. And I'm usually the one that points it out. I'm like, oh, there's more gunshots.
That's what made me kind of hesitant, because I heard it, but I was expecting Shawnee to say something. When she didn't, I was kind of like looking around, driving slow, it was situational awareness.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what was going on around me. And it's probably fortunate that I was going slower, because if I was going faster, that car would have slammed right into Shawnee.
It would have. The way it hit, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now, that's for sure.
Matter of fact, it pretty much took up the rest of your day, didn't it?
Yeah, we finally ended up, because we were the main witnesses as far as that part, we had to wait for the investigator. Well, they had to deal with a suspect gunman on the run. So about 1 o'clock, 1:15, they went ahead and just had us meet him down at the PD, and I told him, and he's like, we're going to try to get you girls out of here as quickly as possible. I said, I have to be somewhere at 2 o'clock because more local activism.
Sure.
And they got us out of there at 1:40. Mm-hmm. The officers did, I thought, a very good job. The paramedics, the fire department, and that's another thing. Like I'm saying, we have a gun violence issue. Like, who shoots at somebody from a moving vehicle?
The guy had car seats in the back of the car. He was a father.
Right.
Well, No, it's just amazing. I went through the Citizens Police Academy, and I'm very impressed with the professionalism of the city's police department. I think they do an excellent job, but they're kind of overwhelmed when it comes to gun violence in Knoxville right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're talking about local activism. They do such a good job taking care of the protests and the marches. Yes. They are there. They are present. They are aware. They do not get involved. They don't harass the protesters. They don't harass the harassers. As long as everybody is respectful of the other people's rights, they pretty much just view everything from an outside. And Officer Will Wilson heads that force, and he's done an amazing job. I've seen him at nearly every protest I've been to, except for today's Knoxville Stands with Standing Rock.
Right. We had a gay pride parade last year. Well, when I say we, I mean Knoxville. And the Atheist Society of Knoxville represented themselves in the pride parade as far as support for the movement. And the police, it struck me then that the police were handling themselves really well. They weren't taking any particular side. They were just efficient and professional.
Mm-hmm. They actually, at one point after the parade, when we actually went to Knox Pride Fest, and there were some hecklers out there with loudspeakers and megaphones and whatnot, and one of the officers asked somebody to move their speakers for their stereo over closer to the protesters to drown them out.
Uh-huh.
Like, these people have a right to be here. You don't need to be standing there with a megaphone harassing them.
Yeah. Well, very good. Back to activism. You're going to be running for office, I understand.
I am. I am running for Knoxville City Council District 6, and that's going to be the Mechanicsville, Lonsdale, Magnolia, Martin Luther King area.
And when will that election take place?
The primaries take place in August.
Of
this year.
Wow.
2017. And what happens in the primaries, which is so odd, but people need to be aware of it, the top two people from your district go on to the general election in November. At that point, it is open to the entire city to vote on each district. So just because you're not in someone's district during the primary, still pay attention to the other ones, especially if you're trying to really affect change at a local level. Pay attention to who's running in the district that's not in your district to look forward to who to vote for in November.
Okay. Well, we told them that you're running. We haven't mentioned your full name yet. They might not recognize it on the ballot if you don't do that.
Yeah, my name is Shawnee Rios.
Okay.
And like I said, I live down on Martin Luther King Jr. I moved to the neighborhood. I specifically wanted to move to that neighborhood when I bought a house, just to say, hey, I am not afraid to live in a black community. I want to stand there with you. And one of the things I keep saying is it's time for, and I am white, it is time for white people to sit down, shut up, listen, and then stand up and help affect these changes with racism and with the way our people of color are treated.
Right. We are citizens of the world, and our race is human, so we ought to stand together.
Yeah, we definitely have to stand with and help that community, because they are still, again, 2017, and we're still having to handle this crap.
Yeah. Joy, I understand you're going to be getting active in politics?
I'm planning on running for the school board in 2020.
In 2020?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got a little time to plan.
Yeah, we're going to get Shawnee's campaign up and going and then work on mine afterwards.
We tag-team pretty much everything
we
do.
Very good.
Works better that way.
Yeah.
As they both tag-team this conversation.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
This morning with the accident, she's out there taking pictures of everything, and I'm handling the 911 call and the patient.
Right.
We have our skills.
We recognize that I'm better at some things and she's better at other things. And
that's how a team works.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ty, you haven't said much. I almost forgot you were in the background there. Would you like to weigh in?
Sure. So I noticed the activism causes were referencing things that are related to race and gender. I was wondering if there was anything being done with regard to economics.
There has not.
So economic disparity, for example, we can say like some of the root causes that we have that are problems in our country are related to race or gender biases. But are you guys aware of or actively fighting against any like economic disparities, socioeconomic
gradients?
Yeah, Joy did Occupy in the past, and I know that there is a group in Knoxville that does the $15 minimum wage, but I've not seen them very active lately. I think it's been so overwhelming. We've had so much stuff going on that they've kind of fallen to the wayside, and we need to bring them back up again. Well, and it does get mentioned, like, with the women making 20% less, the black community tends to be even worse than that. They aren't provided the same... what's the word I'm even looking for? They're not given the same
opportunities,
right, that other people are. And that leads to, and a lot of this economic disparity, that's what leads to the crime issues. When you have parents or a single parent working, two and three jobs to take care of their children and to be able to feed their household, and there's no after-school programs for the children, what are those children doing when they're by themselves? They have no one looking over them. They have no one... teaching them how to be a responsible person, and it's not the parents' fault. The parents are trying to feed them.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also, like you said, that right now there's so much going on that it's hard deciding what to get into first, like what our focus needs to be. It almost, to me, it seems like the equal rights is a bigger issue that we need to be focusing on, and the wage issues will kind of fall into place once we get our equal rights and everything else taken care of. But until we get that taken care of, we need to draw attention to where the base of the problem is, and it's equal rights, whether women, people of color, or whatever, and that's why we're getting paid less.
Full citizens.
That's why they're,
Excuse me, full citizenship for all citizens.
It's almost like it's a symptom of a bigger problem.
Oh, it's very much systematic. And we go back to second-class citizens. Stop treating certain groups like second-class citizens. We are all citizens here, and we're all citizens of the planet, at least. And then there was an immigrant march week before last over the ban on Muslims and undocumented workers. These are human beings as well. Just because you don't agree with somebody's religious belief, and we are atheists sitting in here saying this, just because you don't agree with somebody's religious beliefs does not mean you have the right to oppress them.
Remember, this is a call-in show. If you'd like to, call 865-333-5937, 865-333-5937. And a lot of people generally would ask me, as an atheist, where do you get your morality? Well, heck, all you need is compassion and empathy for your fellow man. That'll take you 99% of the way to a good morality. It's not hard. This is not brain science.
I remember studying religion when I was 15, when I was really like, this doesn't make sense to me. So I started studying a bunch of different religions, and it's like, by 15, I had realized, like, all these religions, if you really get down to it, they all somewhere in there pretty much have you treat others how you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need religion to do that.
Right. I need empathy.
Yeah.
Even Confucius said that. Mm-hmm. He said, don't treat people the way you don't want to be treated, which I think is an even better one.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have God in his mm-hmm. religion.
Right, Hammurabi's Code.
Yeah.
This seems more like common sense than something a book needs to teach me.
But then you get into religion, and they're all authoritarian. It's not do it for right's purpose, to treat your fellow person a human right. It's do it because we said so.
Right.
And if you don't do it, we'll punish you, which is a terrible way to come at morality.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question before we get to the bottom of the hour. Since we have this particular guest on the show, I'd love to ask them, based on the reports that we had from, statistics that we got back from the Trump election, it turns out that, white women who are not college educated voted 62% in favor of Trump, and then white women who were college educated voted 45% for Trump. And I was wondering, what could have been the motivation behind that? I'm at a loss.
I'll give you the motivation. The motivation is pure ignorance. They're uneducated, they're listening to Fox News, they're listening to whatever men who want to keep them oppressed are telling them. There's also typically a level of racism. Like a white woman in the white community, a poor white woman or an uneducated white woman is the lowest person in the white community. And when it comes down to Trump and his gang of racists, that makes that woman feel higher than somebody else. It makes her feel better and gives her some sort of privilege that she wouldn't have otherwise in the white community. That's my opinion on why so many uneducated white women voted for Trump. It made them feel superior. Like they were something for once.
So it made them better than voting another white woman into office. Voting someone who wasn't a white woman made them feel better.
Yeah, it came down to racism, in my opinion, or just sheer ignorance.
Oh,
it's that I know my grandmother. She told me during the primaries. excuse me. She told me during the primaries that when she was younger and married to my grandfather, that he would tell her who to vote for. He would take her down to the polling location, and when she walked out, he would ask her who she voted for to guarantee that she voted the way he wanted her to. And she told me after she left him, she said, I am so happy to be able to walk in, and I don't have to tell anybody who I voted for. I don't have to tell you if I don't want to. I get to vote for whomever I please. And that was her way of getting out of that oppression.
Imagine the image of Trump looking over.
Looking over Melania's
and his son doing the same thing with his wife.
Right.
You know, it's, are you doing what you're supposed to do here?
My dad always tried to tell my mom how to vote, but she wouldn't have it. Mm-hmm. She said one time when he voted for Richard Nixon, she said, "I went out there just to vote against you." She did. Good. I mean, she had a mind of her own.
And my grandmother voted the way she was told, and she said, you know, and it never even dawned on her, and she has said this herself, it never even dawned on her that she could vote the way she wanted to and then just lie to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's what, when you're looking at women who are oppressed the way poor, uneducated white women are, that's what happens. They do what they're told.
Yeah. It's a shame that it happens. Getting back to community activism, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to touch on at this point? We've got about 5 minutes before the break.
I have been attending a program. It's every Wednesday at Fourth United Presbyterian Church. Yes, I am an atheist, and yes, they know I'm an atheist. But the first night, it's on racial justice. The first night, they did it on racism and microaggressions. And the majority of the room was older white people. And the program.
I've never heard the term microaggression.
Right, and they were spewing microaggressions in there while we're talking about them. I got so angry at one person. They said, "Well, I want all the black men in here to stand up," and my body just went rigid. I was like, "Oh, I know this. Where this is going." And so two men stood up, and he goes, "Well, why are there not more of you here? Why are you guys not here? What are you doing for racism in the black community?" And I cannot keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. I sat there and I said, they live this their entire lives. They are the ones that have been out here fighting since they were children. They understand what racism is. They understand what microaggression is. We're the idiots. We're the ones who created this problem. We're the ones that are perpetuating this problem. And it's time for us to, once again, sit down, shut up, listen, and then learn how to help them and stand up with them. They don't need to be here. We're the ones that need to learn a lesson.
Well, Shawnee mentioned that. That's going on through the month of February.
Right. It's every Wednesday night.
After that, I would encourage people to get involved with Surge if mm-hmm. they're interested in that topic. And
Standing Up for Racial Justice. They meet at the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church on
Kingston Pike.
Yes, on Kingston Pike. And it's on, I can't remember which Monday it is, but you can go on Facebook or on their website, or even I think on the Tennessee Valley UU Church's website, and find out when they meet. Because Surge is not just during February, during mm-hmm. Black History Month. They are year-round.
They have a lot of good programs and stuff that they hold too.
They do, and
If the listener doesn't know, this UU Church is about 2 miles west of Cumberland Avenue, downtown where UT is. Just get on Kingston Pike, go west about 2 miles, and you'll see the sign on the right. The UU Church welcomes all creeds, all faiths.
LGBT friendly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've heard that they, I mean, a long time ago I heard that they were accepting of atheists, so I went down there. Did I tell you the story?
I don't think so.
I went down there, and they accept all faiths, all creeds, you know, from anywhere from Protestant Christianity to Jews to
pagans.
Islam, Muslims, pagans, all of it, atheists. And every spring they have a kind of a a ritual, I guess, that they let one of their graduating students get up and give a sermon on their faith. Mm-hmm. You know, remember, all kinds of faiths there. But the first time I ever went, I got to sit and listen to a Baptist sermon. I thought, oh, great.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is what I grew up with. I should be used to it, but I didn't really expect to hear it there. But I should have. Anyway, it was funny.
Yeah, the UU church is good about being accepting, though, of everyone.
Yeah, that was the first and last time I heard a Baptist one there. But I don't go a lot.
Right.
I've only been maybe a total of 12 times.
I go to events there. A few weeks ago, we went to Tennessee Equality Project's lobbying event, and that gave out some good information if you are capable and able to go up to Nashville and help lobby. Last week, the Fourth United Presbyterian Church, their Wednesday night event was we had somebody from the ACLU come and talk about ACLU lobbying. But actually more, they explained how bills become laws and what the process is and how to contact your legislatures and stop that.
Okay.
This coming week is, I believe it's going to be Bridge, the refugee charity here in town, which I'm going to have to miss that.
Because so it's not a bridge club?
No.
Refugee charity.
Yeah, they're talking about that, and that one I'm going to have to miss because that's also the night of Freedom From Religion Foundation's monthly meeting. But once again, the minister and the elders of the church, knowing that I'm an atheist, a very militant atheist, uh-huh. They're going to try and record that for me
so
make sure that I don't miss it.
Yeah.
The UU church is a bit too churchy for me, but I know several non-religious people.
Well, a lot of people go there after they lose their faith because they still like that environment.
The rituals.
And camaraderie. And, matter of fact, that's how Sunday Assembly got started.
Right.
So that's another one of those that do that. Yeah. And we're going to, here at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to take a break. The first thing you'll hear is a message from the Rationalists of East Tennessee. But then we'll be listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson sing, the most astounding fact. And we'll be back in just a minute.
And once again, we are live on WOZO 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
That's true. Very true. Here we go.
Do you find stories of talking snakes laughable? Do you prefer the scientific method over supernatural beliefs? Are you concerned about religious leaders and organizations imposing their values and rules on your body, your family, and the rest of our society? Well, take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. The Rationalists of East Tennessee meets weekly for fellowship and provides a forum for people who support skeptical thinking and rational discussion of these and other issues. To find out more information or to find out about our next meeting, visit us on the web at www.rationalist.org.
What is the most astounding fact you can share with us about the universe?
The most astounding fact.
The most astounding fact.
Is the knowledge that the atoms that comprise life on Earth, the atoms that make up the human body, are traceable to the crucibles that cooked light elements into heavy elements in their core. Under extreme temperatures and pressures. These stars, the high mass ones among them, went unstable in their later years. They collapsed and then exploded, scattering their enriched guts across the galaxy. Guts made of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and all the fundamental ingredients of life itself. These ingredients become part of gas clouds that condense, collapse, form the next generation of solar systems, stars with orbiting planets. And those planets now have the ingredients for life itself. So that when I look up at the night sky, and I know that, yes, we are part of this universe, we are in this universe, but perhaps more important than both of those facts, is that the universe is in us. When I reflect on that fact, I look up. Many people feel small because they're small and the universe is big, but I feel big because my atoms came from those stars. There's a level of connectivity. That's really what you want in life. You want to feel connected. You want to feel relevant. You want to feel like you're a participant. The goings on of activities and events around you. That's precisely what we are, just by being alive.
This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. It's WOZO 103.9, LPFM, live in Knoxville, Tennessee. We heard from the Rationalists of East Tennessee. Now I'm going to give just a word out to the Atheist Society of Knoxville. We're founded in 2002. We now have over 650 members, and you can find us online at knoxvilleatheist.org. We meet every Tuesday for happy hour for food, drink, and conversation. We're meeting nowadays at
West Hills Flats and Taps in Bearden.
That's right, near West Town Mall. They meet for happy hour food. Everybody's welcome as long as you don't preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Apologies to Matt Dillahunty. And now we're getting back to the topic, which is local activism. We have Shawnee Rios and Joy Camacho. And you have another item you'd like to go on with?
And we have Ty here, too. Speaking of, since you brought up our last names, this also happened with the accident this morning, and I'm really a little confused about why it happened. Knoxville is a safe haven city. We were witnesses. There was no reason to check our immigration status. But because Joy and I have the last names that we do, Rios and Camacho, the officer that took down our information underlined our last names and then asked us for our Social Security numbers to verify us. A couple of white chicks born here in the U.S. because of our last names. So imagine if somebody were of Hispanic, you know, descent, and they did that, how that would make them feel. It's
second class.
Like, you're a witness to an accident. You're not committing a crime. Why do they need to check your immigration?
And it didn't start with Shawnee's. When she gave her name, he kind of overlooked it. When I gave my name, and you have two Hispanic last names there, all of a sudden it's like, okay, we need Social Security numbers. Let's pay attention to these names here. You know, it's
right, which I will be making a phone call about that, asking about that. But once again, that just shows, even in Knoxville, where Mayor Rivera has been so good with the refugees and with the immigrant community, that they're going to verify our immigration because we're witnesses to an accident. But back into the local activism, recently we've also had the Betsy DeVos protest. We stood out in front of Alexander and Corker's offices. There were about 250 or 300 of us, I believe. Obviously, that didn't help any, but it helped us because we were standing up and making our voices heard. The following week, which was this past week, and it was on Friday, they stood outside and did the same thing because Duncan has refused to do a town hall. People have asked. He hasn't done one in 20 years. He has presented almost no legislature in 20 years. It's because we're kooks. Going to attract the kooks. Well, apparently the kooks are who are voting for Duncan. Because he's absolutely refusing to listen to his constituents and acts like he is the most accessible person sitting in Congress right now. But I had sent an email regarding something, and the email response was so vague that I couldn't even remember what I had emailed him about. It was, I care about women's rights. I care about people's or women's health care. I care about people's hair care, health care, and sometimes specifically that's women. I was like, okay, are we talking about the ACA here? Are we talking about abortion? Are we talking about access to affordable birth control?
Yeah.
What are we talking about
typical
here?
Typical politician response.
So again, there was I think there were around 300 or more people there for Duncan on Friday night. Then every Sunday, which we went today, Standing Rock, every Sunday since October, Knoxville Stands with Standing Rock has been going on in Market Square from 2 to 4 p.m. This is every Sunday. There might be one Sunday, three or four people out there. Today there were, how many would you guesstimate?
I'd say about 36-ish.
That's more about 15. But yeah,
36 to 50.
That was still a really good number for them. But a lot of people don't even realize what's going on out there and that they're having this every Sunday. A lot of people don't even understand why people are standing with Standing Rock. They don't know what the DAPL is, the Dakota Access Pipeline. And that's in large part to the media refusing to cover it because it does not affect wealthy white people. It is affecting our indigenous Native Americans. Joy's watching me over here doodle on a paper because that's what I do sometimes when I'm talking. And I think we're going to have to get the word out on that because the media is not. Mm-mm. They're not. There's a group. Hundreds of veterans have been up there, you know, helping stand with I think it's the Sioux and the Cheyenne Nations on this pipeline. Obama and Barack and Michelle Obama's daughter, as soon as he was out of the presidency, one of their daughters was up there protesting. And a lot of people just don't know.
I may be wrong here, but it seems like out of all the stuff that we've been to together, the protests, mm-hmm. that's the only one that hasn't gotten any coverage.
Right. The news media, I think WATE specifically, just has not shown up, has not covered it. And once again, it's because look who it's affecting. It is affecting, of course, on a global level and an environmental level, it's affecting all of us. We're standing out there in February at 75 degrees outside mm-hmm. talking about how they have dismissed the environmental impact that this could have.
Of course, it's not 75 degrees up there. We're actually the...
No, and they're water cannoning these people. They're burning down tents. They're burning out teepees. They've brought in private security to handle it. That way they can't say that it was the police or... the federal law enforcement or anything else getting involved, so we pretty much have subcontracted security just like we had in the Middle East going over there and pretty much just doing whatever they please to the original Americans. I mean, seriously,
we push them off on a reservation and we still don't give them the rights that they have for that reservation.
Right.
I mean, it's deplorable.
Right. And we do have on... See, just a list of stuff that's going on soon. On February 17th, there's going to be a general strike to participate in. That's pretty much just, hey, we're striking because we're tired of it. I know that there's going to be...
Who is it that's striking?
It's just a general strike if you're involved in any of these. There will be a women's strike as well. That's going to be nationwide, but they have not... The date is to be determined, and I think that's one of those where they're just going to blast that out the night before, before that actually happens. On February it is showing up for racial justice. I was mistaken there. But they did that the third Monday at TVUUC. And let's see.
What was that, 7:30 to 8:30, right, on that?
Yeah, that one's 7:30 to 8:30. On February 24th, right here at the Birdhouse, they have a disability hood from 7 to 12. And it is a celebration of art, music, and poetry. From people who actually have disabilities.
So that's a Friday, the 24th?
I don't have a calendar in front of me. We're gonna go with Friday.
24th. That's Friday.
Is it? You got it pulled up? Okay, awesome. On February 28th at UT, they are doing a fundraiser for Standing Rock, if you would like to participate in that.
That's a Tuesday.
Uh-huh. On February the 28th, I believe, Evan McGill is hosting a gathering of sorts that involves the women, the kooks, the Standing Rock, like seriously everybody, all of us. There's going to be entertainment, food. It's BYOB. You can find that information on Facebook.
And where is it going to be held?
It is at, I do not have, my phone's dead right now. It is completely left me.
Oh, if they wanted to Google it, what would they Google?
Just go on Evelyn Gill's Facebook page.
Okay.
Evelyn Gill is a county commissioner for District 1. So
just
we've
to help people out, spell Evelyn.
EVELYNGILL, but she is County 1, or District 1 County Commissioner for Knox County. And she's handling that event. Anything else that we've got?
I think that's all that was in my calendar.
That's and this is pretty much what we do anymore is get up in the morning, check our Facebook events. What do I have
going
on today?
Social activism.
Yeah. Right. And there are some great groups to join on Facebook. I don't really work Twitter very well, and I don't think Joy really uses it that much either, so I can't tell you how to look there. But on Facebook, if you join the Women's March, they just changed their name today, the Women's March Coalition. Join Love Trump's Hate. Join Standing with Standing Rock and Surge. And these events are getting cross-posted. And the Knoxville.
Join Black Lives Matters like them. A lot of their events are not open to the public, but they do have public events that they'll post about. So.
Right, and Black Lives Matter also has a private mailing list if you'd like to get involved with them. And I think there's some restructuring going on with Black Lives Matter, so I can't really speak about what's going on with them lately. I do know that there's a progressive group that's been forming for a few months here in Knox County. They've not decided on a name, but I think they're leaning toward East Tennessee Progressives. That way to not exclude people who don't live in Knoxville. It's not Progressive Democrats because we don't want to exclude people from that might be Progressive Republicans or Libertarians or Independents. And they're working on a unified calendar right now where you can go to one location and see this is everything that's going on right now in our area. Pick the one that you want to go to. And find something that means the most to you.
You guys stay pretty busy. Good thing you're retired ladies of leisure.
Right. Yeah. I work an 8 to 5.
So do you, Joy, don't you?
Oh, up until last week.
Yeah, that's a whole other.
Oh, no. We're not going there?
If anybody wants to hire Joy, though.
I'm looking.
The number is 8.
Right? You can find her on Facebook.
I got lots of skills, hiring.
Yeah, but you still were very, very busy.
And she worked night shift a lot.
I worked mostly night shift for the longest time. I worked 40 hours a week. I was the one that could be counted on to go in. So there were many, many weeks over the last 5 years that I worked up to 60 hours. So.
Wow.
Yeah, we were really busy.
All right, and I'm pretty much the assistant to the COO where I work, so... Between that and the social activism and the Joy and I are both the board of directors for RET. We're both on the board of directors from Freedom from Religion Foundation East Tennessee chapter. We're both co-organizers of Atheist Society of Knoxville with Larry.
And then I was involved with Sunday Assembly. I got their children's program up and going and helped with that a lot. So
being full time is not an excuse.
I'm a single parent too, and I still get out there and I do all this stuff. So
it's where you put your priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that, a lot of people are overwhelmed right now. Yeah. A lot of people are being pulled in so many directions. They don't because they want to stand up and they want to be heard and they want to do their part. But that comes down to you need to take some time for yourself. If you only have the time and the energy to focus on one thing, pick the one thing that means the most to you. If it's women's rights, if it's people of color, if it's immigrant rights, if it's Standing Rock, the environment, find something, find one thing. Or if you're
atheism,
atheism, secular government. That's right. A biggie
Church
right now. Oh my goodness.
Self care is really important. Very important. Mm-hmm. I was already having some issues, but I experienced the activist burnout that you hear about here recently I had to take a couple weeks off and pull back some because it was causing depression. I felt like I was shutting down. I felt out of control. Like there's nothing I was doing was making any difference. So it just had a...
You have to take some time off, no matter what you do. If you do too much, it can be poisonous.
And don't feel bad when you have to do that. I take a mental health day. Usually Sunday is my mental health day. Sometimes I miss it. Mm-hmm. But don't feel bad because when you sit down and take time to take care of yourself, 100 people are standing in your place. And you can't do anything to help others if you aren't helping yourself and taking care of yourself first.
In this case, helping yourself is helping others because you're refurbishing yourself, you're refreshing yourself to jump back into the fray and help the other people.
Right. I did. I took about a week off. Well, a little bit over a week.
Like a week and a half, max.
There were still some things that I went out to, but I pulled back a good deal just because it's... it was just too much for me. And it's like, there are still these few things that are really important to me. I feel like I have to be there, or I already committed myself to those. But it's like, okay, if I haven't committed myself and it's not on the top of my list of this needs to happen, I have to put it to the side.
All right. I mean, I had a panic attack the other morning, had to take half a personal day at work. It's going to happen. You're going to get stressed out. You're going to get burnout.
What makes it even worse is when you end up in the middle of a shootout or
spend
half the day at the police station.
Yeah, after it's, we can't miss this, we can't miss this, we can't miss this. And then I text Joy from my bedroom upstairs, we have to leave by 11 o'clock. Yeah. Well, we left on time.
Yeah. Didn't make it.
We didn't even get to eat until like 3:30, 4 o'clock today.
I had to post the food that we were eating. I'm like, I have an emotional attachment to this hamburger because I was so hungry. I'm like, this is the love of my life right now.
Tyrone Wombat, what are you doing up there in Kentucky? Are you staying busy up there?
Yeah, I just went to a Universalist church today. I had a really good time with all the people that are there. They were really friendly, and there was a really welcoming atmosphere. The service was really bizarre because it was centered around the Big Bang, and I did not ever expect I'd be sitting in a church environment where people were actually singing hymns about the Big Bang. It was a very bizarre experience. But there was a lot of other scientists there. In fact, one of our chief scientists was there too. I was surprised to see him. But everyone else was like pretty cool. I did meet, I was more impressed with just the fact that it seemed to attract a lot of different kinds of people of different faiths together into one place to worship or have time to appreciate just humanity together rather than it being specifically one ideology coming together to reinforce the beliefs. And I thought that was pretty positive.
Yeah, for sure. We've got a couple of UU churches down here. But you've also gotten involved in the atheist groups up there, free-thinking groups, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There was a student-led secular organization at the University of Kentucky. I've been to that twice, and they're really great. For the most part, they do a lot of activism. They were part of a women's march that occurred, let's see, it was about 2 weeks ago. There was another one that was planned. And planning for it. They were working with the Universalist Church that I went to, in fact. So, there seems to be a lot of networking among humanist-led social groups here in Kentucky, and it's a really cool thing to see.
Right. Bottom line is, no matter where you are, you can find a group to begin your activism,
to get involved,
and try to help make the world a better place. Do you have anything else left on your list there, Shawnee?
I think that's about covering it for right now. I'll keep running through my mind if I've forgotten anything. We talked about the Immigrant March a few weeks ago. That was week before last. Yassine's Falafels, they did a bridge fundraiser. And one thing I'm noticing with this is the local media is really undercounting these numbers. At Yassine's, they did a fundraiser for Bridge, the refugee group. And I think Bill Foster, the photographer, said he counted over 450 people by himself. They said the local media said a few dozen people showed up.
They
served.
Why would they do that?
Because they, we could say why they want to manipulate the way, things are being, the way things are being viewed. They said that, with the Women's March, I think they said a few hundred people showed up. It was more like
3,000.
4,000. It was insane. It's just they're trying to make it look like, and I don't even understand why they would want to around here, but they're trying to make it look like less people are standing up and showing up than what actually are. That's another thing. Sorry, the Muslims, the one Tuesday every month, I believe it's the first Tuesday of the month, they have an open house, and especially with the ban going on right now. There's a lot of people that have been showing up for that just to show some support and find out, what their house of worship looks like. And I think that's a really important thing with the Muslim fear that's going on right now. Like, not all Muslims are terrorists. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
No refugees have ever or have committed acts of terror on U.S. soil. you're more likely to be shot or blown up by a white Christian heterosexual male in the U.S., unfortunately. Or a toddler. A toddler is more likely to shoot you than a Muslim.
White supremacist or ultra-right extremist.
Ultra-right.
Yeah. You don't see too many lefts doing that. But and I always like to think, and I may be wrong, that if you see a march and you see some people breaking windows, that there are plants from the right. Because I don't think that the people doing the march would have any interest in trying to destroy property.
We've had no incidences here in Knoxville. Not at anything I've gone to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I took a picture from Scruffy City Hall of when the women moved out to march and when all of them had cleared out Market Square. I swear, I saw like one piece of paper and a plastic bag on the ground. Like, they don't even leave trash.
Well, they left the bag to pick up the paper.
I think that's what it was, because they were circling around, and when they got back, and that group was so large that the front touched the tail. I mean, it looped completely around. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
Well, during the opening, I said I would mention something about the TV show that we have here in Knoxville. It's the Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show called Free Thought Forum. And you can watch it every Tuesday between 5 and 6 o'clock, so it starts at 5 and it's on for an hour, on Comcast Channel 12, or Charter Channel 192, or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. And if you're interested, you can find some of our archives. We have a fan who's been saving these shows and putting them up on YouTube. And just go on YouTube and do a search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville, and that would take you to about almost 6 years, I guess, of archived videos from Free Thought Forum.
Or you can go directly and search up the actual fan whose name is Finitist. Finitist, and they're all there.
Or go to his channel. They're all there. Mm-hmm. So it's not Infinitist, but
right?
It's Finitist. And what other group do we have? We've had an info video or audio for the Rationalists. But there's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a few years ago and has spread around the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who have had enough of religion but are still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. What's funny was I haven't been there in, gosh, I guess it's been a year and a half, and they were getting 25 to 35 people. But I recently heard that the number is up to around 80 or 90.
I think the one that I went to, there was at least 50.
50.
Uh-huh.
They said the most they've gotten is 80. And I think the norm is about 56.
I think that was the April or May program last year.
They're still growing. They meet every fourth Sunday. In other words, usually it's the last Sunday of the month at the International Building down near the fairgrounds of Knoxville downtown.
That's where the Valerium used to be.
Right. And then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or just find secular companionship in the Bible Belt. If you'd like to know more about it, just either go on Google and search for Secular Student Alliance, or you can go on Facebook and search for Secular Student Alliance. But there's actually a one locally called Lenore City Secular Student Alliance. So if you go on Facebook, you'll be able to read more about that.
STEM Academy has one now, too.
Really?
And you can contact any one of us, and we can put you in contact with somebody that can help you set up your own SSA or learn about the SSA that might already be available to you. I know that UT has one.
Well, I've got an email that I've tied to Digital Free Thought called doubter5@digitalfreethought.com. So if you'd like to learn more about any of these things, you can shoot me an email at doubter5@digitalfreethought.com.
You forgot a group.
Which one?
The Freedom from Religion Foundation, yeah. East Tennessee chapter. Oh, my gosh.
Well, go ahead, and I'll try to type in as much as I can.
All right, so the Freedom from Religion Foundation, East Tennessee chapter, is the only FFRF chapter in the state of Tennessee. Joy and I are both founding board members. They meet every third Wednesday at Earth Fair in Turkey Creek. As the group grows, the venue may change, but we would definitely announce that. Unlike some of the other groups that we've heard are more of social groups across the country, we are a very active chapter. We handle a lot of violation of church-state separation or violations of separation in church and state on the local level without even having to pull in the attorneys at FFRF. If you see anything that you even question, you can contact us. We have a Facebook page. We have a website. The Facebook page is Freedom From Religion Foundation, East Tennessee chapter. Message the page. We'll look into it. If we feel like it's a violation, we'll definitely make contact on your behalf. If it's borderline that we're not 100% sure about, we'll call and talk to or email the national chapter or the national organization and ask the attorneys, you know, is this a violation? Because we sometimes that gets into a very, very gray area. But we've had a lot of success here in Knoxville, which unfortunately means we've had a lot of violations. We stay very, very busy.
I guess one of the reasons that I didn't have it on the list was I really only included ones where there's a lot of social interaction, like the ASK group, mm-hmm. the meetings and presentations, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, East Tennessee branch, mm-hmm. generally just gets together as a board, doesn't it, to handle...
The four board members are present typically, but it's everyone is welcome. You do not have to be an FFRF member. A lot of us will grab food from Earth Fair, go into the community room, sit there, eat. We talk about things, talk about violations. Educate on what is and what is not a violation. Sometimes we educate each other, those of us that have been around for quite some time, and we still have questions on, I'm not so sure. And I did see a major violation today that I'm not going to say on the air yet until we actually delve into it. But keep your eyes out. Schools, public schools, they cannot have one religion preferenced over another. They cannot have
or non-religion.
They cannot have a teacher lead students in prayer. The students themselves can pray. They can have free reading time and read whatever religious book that they please. That's not a problem. But yeah, it is. We do sit around and still talk about what's going on, and we talk about what's going on in the other groups too a lot, because where everybody's so busy, that might be the only one they made it to that month. It's, hey, what's going on with ASS? What's going on with RET?
True.
So that's every third Wednesday at 7 p.m. Earth Fair.
Okay, we're getting up to the top of the hour. Any final words, Wombat? I'll let you lead off.
Everyone's going to somebody else's house.
No, you didn't say that. Excuse me, that's what I said. He stole my line.
I just want to say, stand up, make your voice heard. It might seem like you're not getting anything done, but people, our politicians, some of them do listen. But, yeah, stand up. And if you don't know about something, ask somebody. Unless it's Fox News or Breitbart, right. And then don't ask them anything.
Remember, you don't have to give up your time. If you're really, really tied up, you can always support them monetarily or emotionally or be friends with them and just be part of the online group, that type of thing. Just get involved.
Or tell them thank you.
Yes.
Tell them thank you. I mean, that doesn't take much to say, hey, you know, I really appreciate that you're out there doing things, you know, that I'm not necessarily capable of. Maybe you've got several children and two jobs, and it's just a difficult situation for you to get out there in March, or maybe you can't donate money, and that's fine. You can share a link on Facebook or Twitter or social media.
Sure.
You can make phone calls or emails to your legislators and your politicians. Everybody can get involved in some way, but you have got to stand up in some form or fashion if you want to affect some sort of change.
Joy, final words?
Yeah, what she said.
I told you we tag-team everything.
Say ditto.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This has been Daughter 5 and Shawnee and Joy and Ty on the phone and Wombat.
Shabooty.
Wombat!
This show is live on WOZO Radio every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Hope you'll join us next time. Shawnee, last word?
Last word, get up and do something. Together we are the voice of change.
Very good. This is Leaving You with Annie DeFranco. What if no one's watching?
Yes. Home to Knoxville's most interesting programming on the radio, this is WOZOLP 103.9 FM, Knoxville, Tennessee.